from their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new thing. This is the NFL Fantasy Football Cheat Sheet. Look, it is sort of everything you need to know and probably some things you don't in the space of about 25 minutes or so. I am Marcus Grant, in case you didn't know that, joined by Michael F. Florio and Laquan Jones. It is a chance for us to sort of hit some of the things that maybe we missed during the podcast, maybe get you updated on some of the latest news and headlines across the NFL and the fantasy space, talk about some things maybe a little bit off the beaten track, but more importantly, we want this to be a space where we can interact with you all. So jump into the chat, put your questions, put your comments. We want to sort of talk with you. It's not a thing that we get to do on the podcast. It's not a thing that we get to do on NFL Fantasy Live. So this is sort of your space to be with us and sort of hang out with us. I know we got a few folks in the chat already. Roman, LG, Blake, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Guys, let's start with the thing that I said this in Slack yesterday before we recorded the podcast. I said, it's going to be fun when Calvin Ridley signs literally 10 minutes after we finished recording the podcast.
You didn't call
I was
that.
Wrong. It was 15 minutes after we finished the podcast. But Calvin Ridley does sign a four-year, $92 million deal with the Tennessee Titans. Florio, your response was that's gross. Would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, you guys know I'm a big Calvin Ridley supporter, and I've been defending the guy. I'll give a shout out to friend of the show Matt Harmon, who did a really good write up on Reception Perception about the way Calvin Ridley was being utilized. And I'm not going to say I watched him as closely as Matt did there, but watching him all year long, because coming into last season, Calvin Ridley was my guy. I had him on a bunch of fantasy teams, so obviously I paid extra close attention to him. It was a weekly battle of like, is he going to make a miraculous touchdown catch? Is he going to catch a really long one? And the quarterback play didn't take the next step like I had anticipated, but I still think maybe I overestimated Calvin Ridley a bit last year, but I still think he can play. But now I don't love this situation for him. Like, I'm happy he got paid. He deserves it all. But Will Levis, look, we know he has a strong arm, but he's unproven. It felt like last year every pass was either behind the line of scrimmage or 40 yards downfield.
That was it.
I think it's fair to say it's a quarterback downgrade. First-time head coach, who is also a first-time play caller, did not call plays in Cincinnati. DeAndre Hopkins is there to still compete for targets. So I kind of think Calvin Ridley is going to be what he was last year, which is like an inconsistent wide receiver too. He'll have some big weeks and then he'll have some really down weeks, and it won't be his fault. It'll be kind of because I don't trust this offense nearly as much.
I mean, I think there's some ups and downs here, right? I think having DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a benefit for him because we saw how well he played last year. You know, when Zay Jones was healthy, when Christian Kirk was there on the field, right? Remember, there was that week that stretch for like a month. Where we're like, Zay Jones is helping Calvin Ridley, you know, go off.
Yeah.
So I think having Nuke there takes a lot of the pressure off of him. We'll see, you know, if Treylon Burks finally starts to develop into this AJ Brown, you know, the AJ Brown light, you know, the guy they got rid of AJ Brown to acquire.
Yeah, AJ Brown light is crazy.
If he can start to develop a little bit more.
Great value.
I also think this is an offense that's going to be drastically different than the Titans offenses we've seen in the past, right? Before, everything was built around Derrick Henry and running the football. The moves Tennessee has made this offseason suggest to me they want to throw the football more. New head coach, you mentioned new play caller. The fact that they go out and they get Tony Pollard. In fantasy terms, that's a wash because it's going to, I think, confuse us and frustrate us with Tyjae Spears. But it does show that I think they want to involve the running backs in the passing game more. They just want to throw the ball more. So maybe in the end, the numbers look the same. And maybe I guess that's the frustrating part. I guess we want it better for Calvin Ridley. But I also don't see a major step back.
Let me jump in real quick on a little bit of how he was kind of misused over there in Jacksonville. I mean, I went back last night and kind of wanted to see like what exactly went wrong. And I looked at his targets. 71% of his targets were outside the numbers. And that's not how he was utilized in Atlanta. I mean, that's a large chunk. He led the league with the most, with the highest percentage, you know, from outside the numbers. And Trevor Lawrence only completed 53% of his passes outside the numbers to Calvin Ridley, which was the lowest on the team of notable wide receivers, obviously. So he struggled a lot to try to get him going. And from seeing that high number, he was more of a balanced guy playing in the seam and outside the numbers. When you get that good balance between him, you utilize him properly, he's able to open some things up and actually produce some fantasy points and produce some, you know, real life yards and stuff. So I really feel like, you know, we look back at 2019, he played a perfect balance from playing in the seam, playing outside. They were getting him involved all around. He even played in the slot a couple of plays. Like, he was getting involved all around, you know, on the offense. So being that, you know, you got a guy like Brian Callahan, Florio mentioned, he's a first-time play caller, but he's also a Zach Taylor guy, and Zach Taylor is basically a Sean McVay family tree. So I really feel as though, you know, Brian Callahan needs to bring some type of Zach Taylor presence to this offense, because you mentioned before with the running backs, you know, they're bringing in Tony Pollard. It will be a fantasy headache, you know, with him and Tyjae Spears, but they're making the right moves in the right direction to try to put weapons around Will Levis. I know we saw the little game where he had four touchdowns and we're like, yeah, we're on. He has a big arm, but then it kind of fell off. But I will say, you know, they're putting the right pieces around him. And hopefully, you know, Calvin Ridley is more used how Jamar Chase is used over there in Cincinnati. If Brian Callahan is going to bring anything, you know, over from Zach Taylor's system, you know, Jamar Chase is a guy that's balanced in the seam outside the numbers that we look at on Next Gen Stat. So hopefully Calvin Ridley can go over there and be utilized properly.
All right. So then that being said, Calvin Ridley, wide receiver 3?
Yes, 100%. Because right now, where is he at? He's like, his ADP is at wide receiver 35. I mean, I'm not mad at it, but surprisingly enough, Christian Kirk is at 36 on Underdog right now, which is a little funny, but I'm probably going to take Christian Kirk just being a stan. I think
that number goes, up now that we know Calvin Ridley is gone, right?
Yeah, it has to, man. Because we know Christian Kirk is the wide receiver 1, right? Like, can we just put that out there? He's the wide receiver 1 for the Jags. I don't care who they bring in our draft. Yeah, I mean, Evan Ingram, my dude had over 140 targets. That was insane. Like, that's not talked about enough, man.
Yeah. So I think that's sort of, I mean, I guess we kind of wait to see, right, what the Tennessee offense is, how productive it's going to be. Yeah, it's probably not going to be as dynamic as what they had in Jacksonville this past year. But I think, you know, I think the other thing that works for Calvin Ridley is there's a little bit less target competition.
A lot less.
Than what he had in Jacksonville. When everybody was healthy, you know, I mean, you had Kirk and you had Jones and you had Evan Ingram. I mean, there were a lot more mouths to feed there.
Yeah.
This passing game is, it's Nuke and it's Ridley. I guess that's with little Tony Pollard sprinkled in there, or Tyjae Spears
Yeah.
That's and it.
To touch on LQ's point from earlier, like, Jacksonville, not only it was all outside the numbers, like it was a lot of like curls and a lot of difficult routes to win. And he was at his best when he was opposite of Julio Jones and they were able to kind of switch from the X to the Y. And I think that's Calvin Ridley will be used a little bit more like a chess piece, whereas last year he was kind of tethered to one spot and the hardest spot on the field where he was often opposite of other teams opposing number one corner. So I do think this could be a good thing for Calvin Ridley. I just think it's going to be very similar to what it was last season where it'll be for a different reason, probably not because of the way he's used, but because of the quarterback play. But I think it'll still be a little inconsistent week to week. But I mean, if Will Levis proves us wrong, and he has the tools to do so, if he can put it all together.
That's why I said he has, you have the tools to move forward and take the step forward and actually produce something consistently each week, you know, because it fell off a cliff after that game that he blew up. Like, it was bad.
It also, you know, look, it also helped that Nuke shoved off a couple of times and got himself open for a couple of those touchdowns. But, you know, we won't talk about that. a couple of comments in the chat. And please jump in. You got comments, you got questions. We want to interact with you here on this show. A2 squared St. Stroud times Barkley times London, a nucleus for a deep run. Logistics of putting that team together, right? I mean, because that means what? Saquon first round, Drake London back on the turn. And then CJ Stroud a little bit later. That's doable, isn't it?
That's doable. Yeah.
That's legit.
I like it.
Grayson Red saying Mac Jones. If Mac Jones is starting games for the Jaguars, things have gone poorly.
Yeah.
That means Trevor Lawrence is either injured or something has gone really, really bad.
It's just not working out.
Things are not going well for the Jags if Mac Jones is on the field consistently this year.
If Justin Fields doesn't start this year, Trevor Lawrence is the last one standing of that draft class that got so hyped up.
Which is very possible. I mean, as of this moment, with Justin Fields not having found a landing spot, or the Bears, I guess, not having found a trading partner for Justin Fields, there's a very good chance that he will not be a starter in 2024.
Wow.
Roman wants to know what the Cowboys are doing. My answer is a big fat pile of nothing.
They're not doing anything.
They saved one fan from going to buy some stuff from Walter White and Jesse Pinkman and making a terrible mistake.
The Cowboys got to do something though, man. It's getting bad.
It's well, and I think what has made it worse for the Cowboys was Jerry Jones talking about we're going all in, and they have done all of nothing so far, right? I
mean, yeah.
You know, people thinking they needed a wide receiver or a running back, right? They move on from Tony Pollard, but they're not in on Derrick Henry or Saquon or Eckler or any of these top line running backs that were out there. There's some talk that maybe they could use a wide receiver. I mean, they don't really get in on Calvin Ridley. Mike Williams is out there, but there doesn't seem to be any real movement there. They can't even really get something going with Dak Prescott right now, right? Like, they're trying to work on an extension with Dak, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of movement there. So, I think if Jerry had come out and said, we're going to be cautious and we're going to take our time, I think people would have been like, okay, we get it. But he's like, we're all in. Then the Texans are making big moves. The Bucs are doing big things. I mean, a lot of teams are making big moves, and the Cowboys are just kind of hanging out.
They're on vacation, man. They're on vacation. They probably think it starts next week. That's why.
Look, I know they're like Dallas Cowboys. I'm not upset with this because I don't care about the Cowboys wins or losses. I care about fantasy when it comes to this team. And this is a good thing for CeeDee Lamb. This is a good thing for like Jake Ferguson. Like, nothing has changed outside of them losing Tony Pollard. Nothing has changed on offense.
I mean, I guess, but now they become a little bit more one-dimensional, right? I mean, unless there's somebody, maybe they go out and draft a running back, right? We sort of talked about Jonathan Brooks in the past. That seems like a Jerry move. Get a guy from Texas, even though he's coming off a knee injury. That feels like a Jerry Jones type move. Like, they'll take him like one round too early also.
And they'll pair him with Zeke, and that'll be
the return of Zeke. Let's go.
Man. After all your failures, where did that bring you? Right back to me. That's what it would be. So many Thanos memes if Zeke comes back to Dallas.
Please.
At this point.
It's going to flood the timeline.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo Box OC wants to know thoughts on Atlanta next year. Your feelings on the Falcons,
guys? I like it. It's basically, you know, the Southern Rams, East Coast Rams. I like it with their building over there. I mean, obviously, this is going to be the year that we get the Drake London, you know, breakout. And we're all on board the Kyle Pitts spaceship going to the moon this year because I'm finally in. I got my ticket. Like, I feel good about this offense, you know, Kirk coming in and he's going to be able to make these guys, you know, just elevate their game. I mean, we know Kirk is a scorer, man. You know, he has touchdowns in his bag. What are playoffs? But when it comes to Kirko,
they are winning that division this year if they stay
lock
healthy.
It.
Honestly, no. I mean, I think they can.
I mean, they were on the brink of it last year.
Yeah,
they were.
I think they absolutely can win the division.
They're a quarterback away.
I mean, look. In the past, the defense had been a liability in Atlanta. Last year, the defense sort of kept them afloat and kept them in a lot of games while their offense was trying to figure some things out. So as long as that defense doesn't take a major step back, you know, Kirk Cousins is a huge upgrade over what they've had the last few years. He's the best thing they've had since Matt Ryan retired. They absolutely can win that division. Whether they win a game in the playoffs, who knows? Because, you know, that's sort of Kirk's kryptonite.
Yeah, that's not his bag.
He has one playoff career win, I believe, and has made more money than Tom Brady, which
I mean,
I say it all the time. Insane. He is the greatest of all time at getting paid.
The greatest heist ever to man.
100%.
For fantasy, he's going to be a QB2 and can finish as a QB1, though. So he's someone like you could pair with an upside quarterback, maybe like an Anthony Richardson. If you take him as your QB1, you get a safety option in like Kirk Cousins. But yeah, I think Drake London has wide receiver one upside, top five upside. I think all three of their big skill position players has the upside to finish top five at their position.
I'm on that boat too, because I forgot Bijan, how good he's going to be this season as well. Like, man, we finally get to see Bijan unlock. Because I was on that train last year, but you know, Arthur Smith, you know, he had different plans for everybody in the world.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, Kirk is who Kirk is, right? And I don't think anybody says Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta suddenly is going to make him, you know, a top 10, top 8 fantasy quarterback. I think, but what we were excited about is what he means for everybody else in that offense.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I mean, Kirk is who Kirk is. Nothing's changing there. We just like the fact that he hopefully unlocks all the skill position guys.
Kirko chains.
Yeah, Josiah wants to know, do y'all think that Devontae Adams has any chance of going to the Jets? I'm going to say no.
No.
Was he going to be a treasurer?
Yo. Right. So here's the other question. Better. I don't think that's going to happen. I think one, he likes Vegas. I mean, I think he's made the move to Vegas. I think he's gotten comfortable there. And I think he sort of wants to help the Raiders win. And I don't see the Raiders moving on from him after they are trying to rebuild and chase down the Chiefs. My real question is, what has a greater likelihood of happening? Aaron Rodgers finishes as the QB1, or Aaron Rodgers is the next vice president of the United States of America?
That. And he will not be the QB1.
So he's got a better chance of being VP.
VP, let's go. No, facts though. I'm on that.
You cannot be the QB1 unless you put up some sort of, at least, you know, you either need to go completely video game efficiency as a passer, or you need to be able to do something with your legs. He wasn't running before he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know that he's got a, I mean, look, maybe he does have another 40 touchdown season in there somewhere. I don't see that, especially not with Breece Hall. They're going to run the ball with Breece too.
Listen, Garrett Wilson will catch. Let's give him 15 as a big number. If he's going to, who, where are the other 25 going on the Jets?
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe they get it on Mike Williams and they bring Mike Williams in.
Ooh, I would love that.
Right. I mean, Marquise Brown is still out there. Unless something has happened in the last couple minutes that I missed, but there's still some options. Still some options out there. Dominic asks, regarding the Titans backfield, what are your opinions on Spears versus Pollard in fantasy? I think we touched on this on the pod, which, by the way, the pod is out. Go check it out. It is a little bit beefier. It's a little over an hour because there were so many things that happened. But I feel like our breakdown was, like they're so similar that they're gonna probably take away from each other.
They're gonna cancel each other out, man, because they're both a similar type back where they both can catch passes, they both can run between the tackles. I just feel like it's gonna be a complete headache, and like if you take either one, you just have to have your expectations in mind. I mean, both are RB3s in my mind. I know a lot of people would champion Tony Pollard with his time in Dallas to be an RB2, but I just don't like the situation, man. They're gonna be eating off each other.
Yeah, that's the TLDR of it. But go check out the pod. It is out now. You know, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you download fine podcasts. You can also download ours too at those spots there. It'll help you a little bit more about that. Christopher says the Steelers traded the only winning quarterback. I mean, sure, if that's how you want to look at Mason Rudolph.
My discourse of the last week is like, oh, they're giving up on Kenny Pickett. It's like, nah, they gave up on Kenny Pickett when they started Mason Rudolph over him in the playoffs.
Yeah, that ship sailed.
I'm sorry, man. He's a Jersey guy, so I can't get on him too much. But Kenny Pickett, man, looking good.
Man, no. Al Rogers is a California guy. The dude's a little bit of a loon. Like, come on, let's.
I mean, not too much on Kenny.
When he found out about the VP rumors, he was off on an ayahuasca retreat. Like Aaron Rodgers is a little bit different, man. Like he's from California. I'm from California. Like,
I'm pretty sure this is a canon event for the Jets of where it's going to be a complete circus for the rest of this offseason. Because what is going on?
not to take us off subject, but something I've been thinking.
That's what this show is.
Thinking a lot about. I was against Kenny Pickett when he was a prospect. I've never been a Pickett guy, and so much of my reasoning was he was bad for 4 years of college and then good in the fifth year. Does that concern you for guys like Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr., who it took a little bit of time in college for them to really become what they are now?
Yeah. It totally does.
Absolutely,
Which actually sort of gets to Crazy Hans. His question was about the upcoming draft class and thoughts about some players. No, it absolutely does. I think more so for Nix than for Penix. I feel like Penix showed some things. It's for him, it's the injury history and it's the age. For Nix, it's the age. I mean, people were calling him Stetson Bennett Light because he's been around for a while.
Pour one out for the homie.
And the fact that, look, he took a big step forward in Oregon versus Auburn, but it's an offense that sort of had fewer demands on him.
It was a lot of screens,
a lot of get rid of the ball quickly. He had a lot of athletic receivers and he let them do their thing. And that's not a terrible thing. Like that's not a total indictment on him, but I think it also means that he's going to have to, you know, a little bit more handholding, for lack of a better term, once he gets to the NFL.
Yeah. Not a lot was asked from him. And so you can't really even know. I mean, that does worry me, though.
It's a similar thing with someone like Xavier Leggett. I know it's a different position, wide receiver. He's testing amazingly athletically, but like the first, you look at his first 4 years of college and you're like, what happened? And then that fifth year, he just exploded.
Yeah.
No, for real. So are there guys, though, back to Hans's question, are there any guys out there you think can be studs regardless of landing spot? And my first thought is those top three wide receivers, MHJ, Neighbors, Odunze. Wherever they go, I think they're going to be studs. I'd say that about Brock Bowers, too.
I was about to say, we could say that about Bauer unless he ends up in Pittsburgh.
That was the rumor floating around yesterday. The tweet that went out yesterday from Maria Martin saying, former Falcons head coach, new Steelers OC Arthur Smith is here at UGA Pro Day and talking to Brock Bowers at the moment. And all of fantasy Twitter rose up as one to shout, no,
you stay away
from our Brock Bowers.
That's a little toxic behavior by Arthur, because it's probably like, oh yeah, he's the top prospect tight end. Oh yeah, we're going to go watch him. I'm going to get a rise out of the fantasy community.
We all had PTSD. Pitt's TSD is what we had when there we saw go. That.
The other college player, I don't care where he ends up, I'm going to be interested for fantasy purposes, is Jaden Daniels. Like, as long as he is playing and starting, he's going to run, and that will he hold up? Could he have an Anthony Richardson type season? Yes.
I need, for whatever city, whatever team that drafts him, I need him to go find the local Major League Baseball team
and slide
and just have sliding practice. Right. If it's Washington, if it's the Commanders, like, go hang out with the Nats. If it's the Patriots that draft him, go spend some time at Fenway. I just need you to learn how to slide, because I saw too many memes of like Sonic the Hedgehog getting hit and having all his rings fly out in association with Jaden Daniels highlights.
Yeah.
He does make some plays. He also took some wicked, wicked hits.
Yes.
That's not sustainable in the NFL. This is not.
Though, is you're not going to have to draft him as your starter. So you'll be able to get him as your backup quarterback more than likely. Yeah, and it's just free upside at that point, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I was just seeing a move that has happened. Shout out to Hans, because I wasn't looking at the tweet deck at the moment. But Rondale Moore going to Atlanta in exchange for Desmond Ridder. So,
interesting.
Your Falcons wide receiving core is Drake London, Rondale Moore, who, I don't know, never really materialized in Arizona the way I wanted him to, the way I thought he would. And then who's their third option? What, like?
Darnell Mooney.
Darnell Mooney. I forgot. That's right. They signed Mooney.
So there he goes. Moore. And Drake.
So you got London, Mooney, Moore, Pitts, Bijan. They are loading up. I mean, I don't know how much of an impact Rondale Moore makes, but they've got some dudes they can run out on the field.
Yeah, he'll be a tool. He'll definitely be involved. I could see it.
Better real life piece than fantasy. I don't see him being very fantasy relevant, but he'll be the lead slot guy. You have Darnell Mooney outside of opposite of Drake London to stretch the field. I think they're building, like, I keep comparing it to Minnesota because that's what we've been seeing Kirk do for so long. KOC comes from a similar background as Zach Robinson, so there are similarities there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying London is Jefferson and Pitts is Hawkinson and Mooney is Addison, and now Rondale, I guess, could be like KJ Osborne-ish, but like there's a lot of similarities, I think.
They're trying to make it comfortable for him.
Yeah, no doubt. Before we get out of here, Ross asked about Gabe Davis playing in Jacksonville. We were all sort of meh on it, but go check the pod because we did get into it.
Cardio King is back.
We got in depth on it on the podcast, so go check that out. We dive into that. And then Lalo says, hi from Mexico. Hola, Lalo. Hola. Says, I miss NFL Mexico. Maybe we reach out and get Mauricio Gutierrez.
Oh, we should.
If not on this show, then on the pod. Mauricio is always great. A lot of energy, fun to talk to, knows his stuff, also is a huge Star Wars guy, so we can like dive into, I don't know if I've talked to him since, any of the new Star Wars stuff has come out, like, what his thoughts were on Ahsoka or anything like that, so we'll get more.
This is the longest drought of Star Wars content ever.
I know, we need more Andor. Like, Andor got pushed back, and I'm not thrilled about it. To fill the gap, I'm gonna go see Dune 2 this afternoon.
I gotta watch that.
I wanna go see it in IMAX before it's out of IMAX. So there it is. And the link's in the chat there. Shout out. I don't know if that was Nolan or Kyrie or whomever it was, but appreciate it. Listen to the latest fantasy pod here. The link is there. Go check it out and do that. We'll be back with you next week for the pod. We'll be back with you next Thursday for this again. This was fun, guys. We gotta do this all the time.
New show, man. New heat.
Absolutely. And we appreciate you all jumping into the chat and participating, because that is what we want this to be. We want this to be interactive. It's a chance for us to sort of connect with you guys and us for us to talk about some weird stuff as well. So that'll do it for the inaugural edition of the NFL Fantasy Cheat Sheet. We appreciate you hanging out. We'll talk to you again real soon. Take care, y'all. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.